Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/ACAST. And up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome back to the Psycholegal Pop Podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about popular culture through the lens of an attorney and a therapist. I'm the therapist, Tess Brigham.
And I'm Brooke Brigham. I'm the attorney.
So we are continuing our Love is Blind coverage. This is Love is Blind Season 6, Episodes 10 and 11. And you are listening to this on a Tuesday because we switched up the days. Our Sister Wives Rewind will be on Thursday this week and probably for the next 2 weeks because we were a week behind the party. Every time. And there was no way we could watch the episodes on Wednesday, record them, and get it all done by Thursday. So each week. So we're behind and we're
catching up.
Yes, exactly.
This is a catch up.
Exactly. So yeah. So before we dive in to the show, which is just a show of lies, lies, everyone's a liar. What is you said before we started recording, you have some, it's not gossip because it's been confirmed by the cast members. So
yeah.
So what's the 411 on what's happening behind the scenes, which is really ruining the show? It really is.
It really is. Well, yeah. Last week we mentioned that Trevor was like basically in a relationship and sort of, I don't even know if they broke up or not, but the girlfriend was completely aware that he was going to do this show. And then he came back and then they just got back together.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think same thing with Jeremy. I think he's admitted that, you know, he was in a relationship. He was engaged up until a few weeks before. But I heard something today that Amy or Johnny or both of them, I don't know, were on somebody's podcast and clarified that they are using condoms.
Oh, thank God. Oh, good.
That, you know, it's not like they are having sex. They are using condoms. But, you know, that's not enough for Johnny because he read somewhere that they're only 92% effective or something.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah, the birth control saga continues even into these episodes we're going to talk about today.
Yes. Yes, we are.
And it's kind of shocking, like that. Yeah. His lack of understanding of, you know,
how anything
control.
Works. Yeah. Yeah.
What sex ed program did he go through?
Your school failed you. Your parents failed you and your school failed you,
the
Johnny.
State of New Jersey
yes.
to do better.
Well, and my question is around, right, like, should these Love is Blind, I don't want to say contestants, they were part of this experiment, but maybe Love is Blind needs to tell them, hey, no more.
Yes,
like, you cannot, much like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, right? They can't reveal if they've gotten married or not. And I assume it's the same for this, though we see Johnny and Amy together. So that kind of tells us that they're together. Mm-hmm. So you, that's already spoiling something. I mean, it's not like the writing was on the wall, but that they were probably going to get married. But the thing is that this is ruining the experience. The entire time I'm watching Trevor, I'm just thinking to myself, this is just a bunch of BS. Mm-hmm. None of this means anything. And then you look at everybody else and you're like, what are you lying about? What are you lying about? Yeah. And what is this all about? And I was just reading something today in Vulture about, I think it was their recap of the last couple episodes, just talking about how this season, it has been the season where people are really talking about like social media following and how the public will perceive you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been very clear that all of these people are very concerned about how the public will see them. Still doesn't stop them from doing real stupid shit, but
yeah, well, we talked about this. I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast or off, but yeah, the fact that, you know, the show's kind of jumped the shark.
Like, yeah.
You know, the first season is of all these shows is the only pure season,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then from that point on, it just gets worse and worse because people come on the show with ulterior motives, want to be an influencer. There's several people who clearly want to be an influencer. And apparently, and some people think that Ken, you know, came on the show to prove to everyone that he wasn't actually gay. You know, that's what his cousin is alleging.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't even know if this is actually his cousin. We don't know. But I mean, it's just an example. The fact that it's even out there, you know, that people are talking about the ulterior motives of people coming on the show, and yeah, it ruins the fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even I have to say, this is sort of jumping ahead, but like Jessica, who comes back on episode 11.
Yeah. 10 and 11. She's
10 and 11.
Yeah. The event starts on 10.
Yeah. So she comes back and, you know, she and Jimmy have a talk. She really doesn't seem that broken up about this. She really doesn't seem this very upset about any of it. And I think she's one of the people who came on the show just, you know, for followers and, you know, to become an influencer because, I mean, look at her.
Yeah. I do think that if you, I'm always, again, I think you can definitely take care of yourself. You can do what you want to do to look however you want. But I do think there's something to be said for someone who, you know, in the gym all the time, taking selfies. She obviously has a boob job, Botox, fillers,
hair extensions,
right? There is that piece of like, unless you're an actress or a model or something else, even, you know, models probably don't do that much stuff. It's just, you know, you have an ulterior motive. Like, I think the rest of us who are just bebopping through our lives, listen, I'd love to get some Botox. I'd love to get a lot of things going here, but I don't, because I'm just kind of like, oh, whatever. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I kind of do care. I need to get on that Botox train. I think I do. I really do.
You don't, why? You don't have a lot of wrinkles.
I don't have a ton of wrinkles, but I could be smoother. I could be, I don't know. I could, you know,
you look
do
great.
Something. You I could do great. Something.
You look fine.
So. Anyway, yeah, it's hard. And so what happens is then who do you root for? Like, there's no one to root for.
I know.
What you're left with is Johnny and Amy, these dummies that don't even, Johnny, who doesn't even understand that a vasectomy is hard to reverse. Do we want to start with them? How should we do this? Because this was a little bit different because of the party, and the party had all these couple things happening inside the party. So,
yeah. Well, we could go chronologically. I have kind of a chronology here.
Oh, good. Well, you go chronologically. Okay. Let's just do that for these two.
Okay.
Okay.
And remind me at the end, I went back and I listened to our predictions from the first episode we did. I want to compare them to now.
Oh, good. Okay.
It's kind of funny.
I don't even remember my predictions, but okay.
Yeah. I went back, I listened and wrote them down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're still, meeting the family members. We met a few family members on the last episodes. So we start out with Jeremy's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's telling her the whole story about he and Laura and what happened. And she seems to be on Laura's side.
Yeah, I have to say that she, because I think I saw this somewhere. People are always talking about boy moms and how we enable our boys. Mm-hmm. And I was like, not all boy moms enable their boys. Like, she very much, I think she was very right on in the way in which she handled it. She can't sit there and scold Jeremy. This is her, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. beating him up for it isn't going to help. But she, you know, she was trying to give him her, like, this is how she sees it.
Right.
This is how she's seeing it. And you have to see that. You have to see that side in order to understand it.
But, yeah. And also, it seemed like maybe she was used to him having these kinds of fallouts with women. Because, I mean, she must know that he was engaged to another person a few weeks before he left for this show. So,
which was like a month ago.
Yeah. So she's just like, oh God, what the hell? She's like, okay, I'm going to come on the show and support my kid. But she's just kind of just doing the bare minimum of that. And so, yeah, they're at the dog park. And unfortunately, his dog's name is Layla because that's my daughter's name.
Is that his dog? I thought that was her dog.
Oh, maybe.
Was it the mom's dog? Anyway, yeah, I know. I noticed that. I'm like, oh, Layla. And you know what? That dog does not look like a Layla. Mm-hmm. FYI. It's not a Layla dog.
Not Layla energy.
Well, but hold on. So Jeremy tells the story of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I am very curious because me, the empathetic person, totally believes it. Totally believes it. So you tell me, did you believe the story or do you think he's much like a killer who's been caught, who spends all that time in prison trying to put their story together based on the evidence that's being presented?
He's full of shit.
Okay.
Do you remember there was a certain point where Sarah, who ends up at this lake party, Sarah Ann, ends up later at this lake party and she's talking to AD about that night. And she keeps insisting, oh, she's like, yeah, he drove me home, but he didn't come in. He never came in.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this last week. It's like, well, you could do a lot of shit in a car.
Mm.
You know, maybe he didn't come into your house, but you guys were in a car together for like over 5 hours or something.
Yeah, from 2 to 5 in the morning.
5:30 or something.
So, yeah.
So a lot can happen in a car, whether the car is in front of the bar or in front of your house or wherever. Mm-hmm. I mean, no, I don't believe.
I think Jeremy.
Donnie. Or what? No, Jeremy. Yeah.
I think Jeremy's story is true. And I think it omits some things. Do you know what I mean? I think he is telling everybody the version of events.
Well, that's just as bad. Yeah,
I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying that this is much like when people lie, right? They pick a version of the truth. It's always kind of in there somewhere. But I find it hard to believe that these two had so much to talk about for 3 hours.
Yeah,
I really just don't think these two have three hours worth of stuff in
there. Also, you're engaged to another woman. I don't even have to explain this. The whole thing is just inappropriate. He's lying. He admits at the pool party or the lake party that he made the wrong choice. And he was feeling that way that night. And that's why he stayed out all night with her.
Yeah. Well, but in the beginning, he did say he didn't think he would get in trouble. That's what he said to mom. And I'm like,
from Laura? He didn't think Laura would mind?
I don't know. I wrote that down. I'm like, I thought that was interesting when he said, I didn't think I would get into trouble. I think that maybe what's happened in the past with Jeremy is that he's done stuff like this in the past. And he's gone to the girlfriend or the fiance and told them that version of events. Mm-hmm. And they've believed him. And I think what's so shocking for him is I don't think a woman has ever reacted this way like Laura has. And he's now he's a victim because, oh my God, Laura is so mean. Laura is being so harsh. I just don't think, I think his past relationships, I think he did a lot of this kind of stuff. And yeah, they probably. they just believed him.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm over him. I'm done with him. Mm-hmm. We have to talk about him later, but who cares?
Yeah.
Okay. So then the next scene, I believe, is when now Chelsea is meeting Jimmy's family.
Yeah, that was so awkward. I felt weird.
Yeah. So Jimmy is the one who, you know, he's the first in his entire family to ever go to college. I don't know where these people are from, if they're from Charlotte or someplace else. But, you know, it's sort of like, you know, they look like the country mice who came to the city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just a little bit out of place, but very sweet people.
Yeah.
Just kind of, you know, down to earth. And the parents have been married for 43 years. And I think they have several children. Because Jimmy's the youngest, and they, the one of their other daughters is with them. I think, I can't remember if they said
Donna.
Donna, was she like the oldest, or
no? I don't think they ever said what her. I don't know if they said piece of it.
Yeah. So,
What I wrote down was, because I didn't write down anything they said. I just wrote down, who are these people? Not Jimmy's family, but Jimmy and Chelsea. I'm like, who are these people? They are talking in sound bites.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we communicate so well. It's a good thing that we fight, right? Like, all just this. What? Like, who talks like this?
I think the mom asks, or the sister asks something about, well, have you had your first fight yet, or something like that? And Chelsea's like, well, we don't fight. It's more like we have conversations. And it's like, bullshit, you don't fight. God, I've seen half a dozen fights between you two already. And that's just what's been aired.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, what is she talking about?
Yeah, and that was the part that was so bizarre, was it just felt like Chelsea was, okay, what do I need to say to get these people to love and approve of me? And what do I need to say to get the audience to love and approve of me?
Mm-hmm.
Then Jimmy's going, okay, what do I need to say to convince my parents that I love this person and mm-hmm. also look like a good guy to the audience? And I'm like, who are these people? I mean, do they believe this crapola that they're saying? I mean, and so, and then to see the scene right after, I don't know if that scene's right after this, but seeing them
in bed
and the fight and all that, you're like, this is all the same day? This is all the same time frame?
That was unclear, because it's not immediately after this. It comes a little bit later. But yeah, you're like, well, when did this happen?
Mm-hmm.
It's very random. I don't know. Do you want to talk about that, or do you just want to keep going?
Let's keep going in order.
Chronological order.
To that. But that dinner was, or lunch was painful. I just found the whole thing really,
painful. It was awkward. It was awkward. Okay. So then AD and Clay. Okay. So first we see AD is meeting her mom, Jacqueline. Mm-hmm. And she's talking to him before Clay shows up. And, you know, they're just kind of talking generally. And then when Clay shows up, you know, she seems very excited, you know, mm-hmm. this tall drink of water walks in.
Yeah.
So they sit down, and of course, Clay brings up the topic he always brings up.
God, Clay.
That he's afraid of commitment and marriage because of his parents' divorce and because of his father's infidelities and like blah, blah, blah. I mean, this is just...
Yeah, I can't imagine AD must want to rip her hair out.
Yeah.
I mean, right? Because this is all this guy talks about.
It's all he talks about. It's just so negative. And it's never like, you know, my parents went through this, and so I don't want to go through that, and so I'm going to be... It's always like, well, I'm afraid to get married because somehow it's inevitable mm-hmm. that I'm going to end up doing the same thing my dad did.
Yeah, like as if he doesn't have free will.
Exactly. Like it's not genetic, Clay.
Yeah.
You can choose differently.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jacqueline, I think, gives, you know, the best advice that she can in the moment. And she basically says to both of them, look, you can't take on your parents' stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was them. you know, you have this, you have your life, you can make different choices. Don't take that on, mm-hmm. you know, and she's absolutely right. And
she's right about that, though. I, you know, what she was saying about, hey, well, your parents were married 24 years and that is successful and that is good. And like, well
I don't know. I don't know if that was.
Yeah. I mean, or what Clay says, like, year seven is when my father started cheating. I'm like, I don't think.
Yeah. And started taking him on these infidelity trips.
Yeah. So was it good that they were married that long? Was it good that it was so long? It's like, well, I'm sorry, but you're really struggling right now. I don't think
that was the right choice.
I don't think it was.
That's what caused him the most damage, was seeing his father literally like firsthand. I still can't get over the fact that his dad took him on trips for the sole purpose of being able to meet up with another woman, and Clay knew what was going on and he saw it. I have so much like that empathy for him, and I cut him a lot of slack because of that. That's child abuse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can't get that out of my head. It's like, ugh, awful. Anyway, I mean, Jacqueline seems like,
they seem very close, Jacqueline and AD. She's great because AD is great. The two of them together are amazing. Yeah. I love AD. Love AD. Yeah. And that's why I'm very nervous for her, because the thing is, AD, you know what's what. Clay doesn't. I mean, that's the best way for me to say it. Like, you know what's up. You've worked through your stuff. You understand yourself. You understand life. You are at a place in your life where you are ready to get married, and this is,
but if that's true, why is she with Clay?
Well, that's a good question, because I think that she loves to fix.
Yeah. She's a
fixer. I think she loves to fix. But I'm very surprised to hear that her mom is telling Clay, like, oh, my daughter's saying about how she'll follow him anywhere. She's willing to follow him anywhere. So it's like, okay, so you're that committed to this. You're that committed to this relationship and this person that you're willing to give up your own dreams, your own wants to just follow him for his dreams. Okay. I mean, then you really want to fix them, don't you?
Yeah, that's her pattern. I mean,
yeah.
Well, I have more to say about that when we get to that and we talk about our.
Well, she is really. You know, she is so invested in this relationship and she's put so much into it. I have a question. Would you rather be trapped in a room with Johnny talking about birth control or Clay talking about how he's not ready to get married?
Oh, God.
If you had to be trapped in a room with one of these two people.
I don't know. I think I could engage Clay in some conversation over that. The birth control stuff is just like, I can't, you know, you need to figure that out on your own. That's a hard choice, but
yes.
Yeah. And the other thing about Clay and AD that I notice is that, and this could just be editing, I don't know, maybe they have deep conversations, but I feel like all their conversations are either about Clay's fears of cheating or about how great they're going to be together.
Yeah.
You know, how they're going to be this power couple.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this aspirational, you know, black love, black power couple.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, that's great, but I've never heard them talk about anything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know.
And I don't know. I don't know if it is the editing or not, because you're right. Because I think that Johnny and Amy do talk about other things besides birth control.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
But they have to keep this storyline going and moving. And I bet you anything, they make them, okay, have another conversation about birth control now.
Right.
And
update us.
Update us and tell us what's going on. What have you learned this week, Johnny, about birth control?
Did you Google vasectomy?
No, he went to an appointment. You know, he got the 411. Yeah. Anyway. All right. What's next?
Okay. So then now we have Johnny and Amy meeting Amy's dad.
Yeah.
And yeah, she'd said in a previous episode that, you know, if her dad didn't approve, that, you know, she wasn't going to marry him. And, you know, try to scare everybody into thinking that, you know, her dad was like some scary person. And he's not. Like,
he's a delight.
He's a total delight. He just wants his daughter to be happy. Mm-hmm. He sees that she's happy. Johnny says all the right things. He's really hung up on this whole thing about retiring at 50. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, how are you going to do that? When you figure out how to do that, let me know.
Let me know, because I'm 50 now.
Well, it's too late for me. I'm 54.
This whole thing about wanting to retire at 50, it's like, if you want to retire that early, you kind of need to be doing this like in high school. You need to have a plan early on. Yeah. He's already 27 plus. Like,
well, he could probably do it, but he'd have to live such a frugal lifestyle. You know what
I mean? They would have nothing.
No vacations.
Never eating out.
Yeah.
Never buying anything new.
Never like having a smaller house than you probably want or need. Driving some old used car all the time.
Yeah. I mean, there would be no new anything. And then if you have a kid in there, this is the other thing. We've said this many times that kids are expensive, and they are. But you also don't know what your kid's going to need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, both of our kids have
a special needs child.
Yeah, you could have a special needs child. Well, your daughter you paid for private school her entire career. I started paying for private school, you know, 4 years ago. I mean, 4 or 5 years ago. So that's the thing is that you don't, when you think like, oh, they can go to the local school, or you think, oh, they'll be fine. They'll be just right there in the middle with everybody else. It's like, no, you could have a kid that has a lot of problems and a lot of issues. And trust me, I've spent lots of money on my kid trying to figure out how to help him. So how is that going to work? You don't have enough time, Johnny. You don't have enough time, and you got to let this go.
Yeah, just relax. I don't know. Yeah, Johnny's really kind of wound tightly. a lot of issues. And it's like, dude, relax.
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to be okay.
What I kept thinking about when Amy's dad, David, showed up is I kept thinking, what if I was on the show, or what if you were on the show? Do you think our father would
show up for this?
Would agree to do this, number one. And then I thought, okay, so if we begged him to do it, he would do it. But that speech that David gave was so beautiful. I'm like, oh, you know, we're not going to get a speech like that.
No,
we're not going to get any of that.
He'd be like, okay, whatever. It's your life.
Go ahead. I don't know. These parents, they're all just made for TV. They're all just doing the things they're supposed to be doing. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I've ever asked you this, but did Steve ever like talk to Dad about you guys getting married?
Mm-mm. No, I don't think so. No. I don't think Steve ever asked me if that was something. He had obviously met Dad before that, so he knew kind of what he was like already.
Mm-hmm.
But no, none of that stuff. Well, you remember at the wedding, Dad and Steve were sitting at the same table, and Dad told Steve, "You're a really nice guy." And that made Steve so happy. And I told Steve, soak that in.
Yeah.
Because that is it. That is all you're getting. And sure enough, 20 years later, that's it. I was like, you have to hold on to that memory. Hold on to it tight, because he is not going to give you anything more than that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just sort of like, okay, you know. You got to get compliments from Dad or any kind of positive affirmation, you have to really squeeze it out of him. You have to corner him and demand it.
That's funny. Well, at least he got that. You know, it's more than a lot of people have ever gotten. So
yeah. So anyway, I said, that means you're special, Steve. So that big cliffhanger of Amy and all that is now dead.
Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. So then we come upon the fight.
Ah.
Okay.
All right.
So Chelsea is she's upset, and I guess this happened the day before. I don't know when it happened, but anyway,
I think I parsed this out. Okay. So I think that they met with Jimmy's parents the same day that they had that fight.
Because she said the cameras were there.
Yeah. And I think that the day before was the day that Jimmy went out and partying all night, according to Chelsea. But I think the night before is the night that Jimmy went out to his friend's party.
But she said the cameras left, and that's when you went out. So maybe yes. The cameras were there when the day that she met the parents.
Oh, okay. Then never mind. I got the feeling that they were filming the day before something. He went out. You know, the cameras leave. He goes out. She knew the next morning that they were meeting his parents, so she was holding all this stuff inside.
Oh.
I don't know.
It doesn't really matter when it happened. But yeah, so go ahead. Say what happened.
Okay. So Jimmy and Chelsea, they're in bed together and they're talking, and she brings up the fact that she's mad at him because he went out the night before. And she kept reiterating to him, you know, you lied to me in the pods. I told you I didn't want someone that was going to go out and party and do all this stuff. And Jimmy's like, I went out last night for an hour to my friend's party, like to my friend's birthday party at a bar. And, you know, not at a nightclub, not partying all night. He's like, I was out for an hour and a half. I had one drink. I drove there. I had one drink and then I drove home. He's like, what are you talking about? He seems really confused. He seems so confused.
She says that some of the girls from the pods saw him.
Mackenzie, who we meet later. Yeah. I don't remember this.
And
Mackenzie
calls her, texts her and says, well, why is Jimmy out and you're not here?
And that, I think, upset her the most.
Yeah.
And that is why there's this problem. And I think that when they fight, Chelsea keeps bringing up the partying thing. And it's like, you can't keep bringing that up, Chelsea, because that's not really what you're mad about. What you're mad about is this, Chelsea. And I'm going to tell you right now. You're mad that someone called out that that Jimmy was out without you. And because you're so insecure and worried about him and the Jessica factor and all these other things, you can't handle him doing anything.
Yeah. Well, she also brings up that she doesn't like him going out with his girlfriends, the same girlfriends mm-hmm. that she met you know, a few episodes ago.
The female friends.
The female friends. And he's saying, well, I shouldn't have to not be friends with them. And then mm-hmm. this is when she says that Jimmy fucked one of them, because she's mm-hmm. like, you fucked her. But it was a long time ago. Like a couple years ago, he had sex with one of his female friends. But, you know, it was probably just a one time thing. And he told her
off camera.
And now he's pissed because she has just now said it. And I think she said the girl's name, too.
Mm.
She just like said it on camera.
Yeah.
And so that was just like, she's just in his face, mm-hmm. you know, saying, you fucked her. I know you did. And
because she hits below the belt.
Yeah.
She really does. Yeah. I mean, the thing is that are you hurt because you're hurt because he's out and he didn't ask you to go, but he assumed that you didn't want to go?
I think he asked her if she wanted to go, and she said no. Mm-hmm. And then it only became an issue when Mackenzie, you know, calls her and says, well, why is he out without you? And then I think she even brings up him seeing Jessica. Like, was Jessica there? Or, you know?
Yeah.
And he's just like, no, he's just trying to brush his teeth.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's really just, he says, you're fishing, you know, you're just trying to find something.
Yeah. Well, I also wonder if Mackenzie really saw him out, because Jimmy was like, wait a second, I saw no one from the show. He's mm-hmm. like, I don't even think I know what Mackenzie looks like. He's like, I was there to meet my fraternity brothers. Like, there mm-hmm. were 12 of us and a few girlfriends. That was it. And I bet you anything that maybe someone took a selfie or a picture, or maybe Mackenzie was out. But I really do think this was like a giant game of telephone. And that's the problem, is Chelsea can't take that in, like have someone say to her, hey, your man's out, but you're not out. What's going on? She can't handle, she does not have enough self-esteem and sense of self to be able to go, okay, yeah, that's fine. You know, I don't need to be with him all the time. And I don't, mm-hmm. I trust him, but she doesn't trust him.
She's so insecure. And I think she'd been drinking too.
Mm-hmm. She mentions that, like dirty martinis or something like that.
And, Jimmy, I don't know if it was this scene or another scene where he basically says, I don't think I can get married to you.
No, I think it was, I think it was this scene.
Yeah. He was just like, at his wit's end. And I think he said, I don't think I can get married. And then, you know, kind of cuts to black, but,
yeah, but he's right. I mean, he looked genuinely surprised and he was like, are you fishing? Mm-hmm. Are you fishing for something? Are you wanting me to admit something? And that whole thing about going out and you lied to me in the pods and you know, all of this stuff, it's like, whoa, hold mm-hmm. on a second. You know, he did not lie to you. A person deserves to go out. And you know what? I'm going to even say this. A person deserves to say, hey, I want to go out by myself.
Yeah.
Because these are my friends. And I don't want you hanging around me all night because I, you know, we have inside jokes and I don't want to explain them to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, so people have the right to, you know, go out without their spouse and without their partner and have a life. That is just crazy. And he's just like, what are you talking about? Yeah. That just bugged me that she kept going back to that over and over again. I'm like, what? Huh? But the stuff with his friend, you know, is really, really bad. And of course, you know, in therapy speak, Jimmy's like, you violated my boundaries. So I don't know. You overstepped my boundaries. You know, and I don't know if I can get past this. And I'm like, good. I thought, finally, yes.
Stand up to her.
Yes. You're seeing that this is crazy making. Like, stand up and say this isn't going
to
work.
Yeah. To his credit, he really, like, takes a lot of shit from her and, you know, forgives her and moves on and doesn't dwell and stuff. And she, and I'm surprised he has just not hit a wall.
It was crazy. Yeah. It was just, and what they were fighting about made no sense. And I was just like, oh my gosh. All right.
All right.
So what happens after this fight?
I think,
do we see them the next morning or no?
Well, no, then I think, so then we cut to AD and Clay filling out their marriage license.
Oh, this whole thing. Yeah.
Which triggers Clay to once again, start talking about how he's scared that he's going to cheat like his dad did. Mm-hmm. It's just like Groundhog Day. But then he starts getting into talking about how, you know, he doesn't feel like he's maybe ready to get married. And mm-hmm. he says, well, what if we just didn't get married, but we continue to date?
Mm-hmm.
And how this
Which is what he really wants.
Yes, this is what he wants. Yeah. It's a big red flag. And AD says, well, no. Not going to do that. Like, I'm in this experiment or whatever, you know, I'm doing it. And if he says no, then she won't keep dating him. And he's just like, oh, crap. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, oh, the writing's on the wall here.
Yeah, no, it doesn't look good. And, you know, I have this note here that it seems like there's a lot of similarities between Clay and Chelsea. They're kind of in many ways, like the getting stuck on, and again, maybe this is just how it's edited, but getting stuck on one thing, but also just not feeling like Chelsea can't trust her partners and Clay can't trust himself.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happening is because of this, the two of them keep putting this out to their partners as if it's on their partners to fix for them. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of like, you know, AD, you need to be, he's basically saying, like, I don't know if I feel like I'm the kind of husband, you know, the kind of husband that can lead, the kind of husband that you want, the kind of, you know, what you're talking about. And it's, again, it's like, just like Chelsea, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy of, yeah, you now have talked yourself out of this. You now decided this isn't this, you know, I can't. It's different than I can't do this and I don't want to get married. And I don't know if Clay is just trying to find excuses, like one thing after another, but I'm nervous. I'm really nervous.
I can't even begin to understand what's going on with Clay. But
Clay is a more decent person than what I thought he was in the pods.
Mm-hmm.
And he's obviously a hard worker, but he shouldn't be getting married. He was
traumatized by his childhood experiences. He needs like a ton of therapy. You know, he's so manic, just the way he talks and, you know, he can't even slow down enough to just even like process anything. He's just got this thing, the infidelity on a loop in his head. And it's just like, he just keeps coming back to it. And I feel badly for him. I don't think he's a bad person.
No,
at all.
He's a little broken.
He's broken.
And he needs a lot of therapy. Like he needs maybe something like EMDR for his past trauma. And because that is trauma, what happened to him in that relationship with dad. And I'm sure more things happen that maybe he's not talking about. You know, he just needs a lot of help.
Yeah.
A lot of help. All right.
Okay. So then we go back to the next morning after Chelsea and Jimmy have this fight. And I think this is when he tells her he doesn't want to get married. And, you know, then she's, you know, she tries to fix that. You know, she says, well, I shouldn't have been drinking. And then she's like, well, you know, marriage means you don't give up when things get hard. She sort of basically guilts him back into saying, okay. And he just, at this point, he seems like he has Stockholm syndrome. He's just like, all right. You know, I mean, she's just got him wrapped around her finger. And it's like, oh my God, this is like...
Yeah, but is he doing this because of the perception of people? Because honestly, I'd have a lot more respect for him if he turned to her and said no.
Yeah.
Like, you violated my boundaries. I know in time I could get over that, but we obviously aren't getting along. Like, this is a problem. Like, we have some problems here.
Yeah, you know, we're not ready to be married to each other.
Yeah, we're not there yet. And I was so, her voice really started to grate on me all through that fight. And this next morning, you know, she kind of whines like a child.
Yeah.
And she's whining at him about it. And she keeps throwing everything back in his face. You know, she really can't, she can't take accountability for herself, because every time she takes accountability, she goes, and you too, you know, and she really can't just sit down and talk to him and take ownership for her part and not put it on anyone else or throw it back on him. And that is a big problem. And just her saying like, well, you're throwing in the towel. I'm like, no, this isn't throwing in the towel.
He said he wasn't ready to get married. He wasn't saying that like, oh, I never want to see you again. But yeah, he just seems so defeated. And yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
You know, his parents were married for a long time. She just met his parents. And what? He's going to turn around and be like, you know, that woman you met the other day that I said I was going to spend the rest of my life with. Well, I changed my mind. I mean, and you're on a TV show and then there's all these people, you're friends with all these people. I mean, this is not simple to extricate yourself from.
Yeah.
You know, at all.
Yeah. Which I understand. I understand Jimmy, not wanting to have that conversation with, his parents. But as I say to a lot of my clients, listen, it's far more expensive to get divorced. It's far more time, energy, money to get divorced than it is to have to like explain some things to a few people
or upset a wedding. Yeah.
Yeah. Or cancel a wedding or upset somebody or do this thing over here. Psych Legal Pop. We'll be back after these messages.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites.
So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The next scene is the lake party, lake house party.
Mm-hmm.
They go, I don't know what lake this is, but anyway, they're all reuniting the couples and also some of the former podsters, whatever they call them.
Mm-hmm.
So we see, so Trevor shows up and Chelsea gets her first look at him and she's like, oh, you know, he's beefcake, you know, like that's what I like. Now, if she had heard Jimmy say something similar like that mm-hmm. to Jessica, she would have flipped the fuck out. But it's okay for her to say it.
Yeah.
Well,
when they first get there, Laura's there and AD's like, you know, when all the girls get together, that was her first question. She was like, where is Jeremy? What is going on with Jeremy?
True. Yeah. So after that night where Jeremy, you know, was with Sarah Ann till 5:30 in the morning, Laura confronted him the next morning and then she left. She went back to her home, left, and it had been several days since she'd seen him or talked to him or anything. And I guess he was trying to send her flowers. He wanted her address. And she was like, no, thanks.
Yeah. Well, and so there's this debate between, right, of like what, because Jeremy's on the other side going, she sent me a bunch of nasty messages. She wouldn't even talk to me. She's running away. She's doing this. She's doing that. And Laura's calling Jeremy fake as shit. And, I don't know.
She called him a con artist.
Yeah. Yeah. That he basically conned her. And, you know, though, this is something that bothers me is how so many of these women and all of them talk about, you know, are you my person? I thought you were my person. I thought you're supposed to be my person. It's like, what? What? I mean, God damn it, Grey's Anatomy. You made everyone think that everyone's supposed to have this one person in their life that's supposed to be their person. And yeah, your partner should show up for you and they should be there for you and they should be loyal to you. All those things. But it just feels really a lot to ask of someone to be my person.
Yeah, especially after knowing them for a month.
Yeah. And then Laura gets into that whole thing about like when he made a commitment to me, that ring meant you're going to protect my heart. And, you know, he broke his commitment and he did this and he did that. And it's like, okay, yes, I'm with you on that. But at the same time, in this context, do you know what I mean? Like this is season six. Like, I think what's happened now is that people have figured out if you get engaged in the pods, you get more airtime. They follow you.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to get engaged.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to keep going, you have to get engaged. And there's almost this, to me, it kind of feels like that engagement is just step one.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really, is that truly the commitment in that moment in time?
No.
It's like you hadn't even seen each other yet.
No, it's not. And to even call it an engagement is insulting to engagements, you know,
But protect her heart.
Yeah.
You put that ring on my finger and you're supposed to protect my heart. Protect my heart. She kept saying that. I'm like,
yeah. That's very melodramatic.
It's
just stupid. Thank you. It's like, please, yeah. This is not a rom-com.
But I don't know if it's this group of people or people in general, but the expectations that people have of others and what they should or should not be doing for you is it's too much. It's way too much.
Well, this show. Yeah, it's the show. Okay. It's the premise of the show.
Yes.
That you're going to fall in love, get engaged, and be ready to be married in a month. I mean, come on. But we love to watch them try.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very entertaining. But so Trevor comes and then Jessica and Mackenzie show up.
Do you even remember Mackenzie?
No.
Yeah.
She's become part of the pod squad.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Jimmy sees Jessica and of course it's like, oh yeah. I mean, you know, she's attractive. They sit down to talk and, you know, I thought that it was a respectful on both sides,
mm-hmm.
a respectful talk. You know, I mean, Jimmy, bless him, he clearly has made a commitment to Chelsea. He's not trying to like start anything with Jessica. You know, they're just talking, although
he does say to her, "You're my number one." And I didn't know if he said that like in the past.
Yeah,
was his number one or now?
There were captions. Mm-hmm. Netflix put up captions because it was hard to tell. Did he say, "You were my number one still," or "You are my number one still"? I thought he said, "You are my number one still."
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But I read that if you look at the closed captions, it says, "You were my number one." But he says, "Still," which makes it confusing. But I think it's just a bad grammar, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't get the sense that he was interested in anything about her, even though he says she's like the smartest person he's ever met. Or
I was like, really? She's the smartest? And strange. You have not met enough people.
Yeah, I think.
And that she terrifies him. And he said that he doesn't think that he's good enough for her. Mm. And so, but I wonder if a lot of this is code for having a daughter terrifies me.
Exactly.
You know,
he did not look, he would have picked her if she didn't have a child. This, mm-hmm. he 100%, this was all about her having a child. He did not want
mm-hmm.
to do that. And that's why at this get together, he's not even entertaining the idea of, "Oh, maybe I made the wrong decision. You know, maybe I should be with you." He never says anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
no, I felt like he was very respectful and very nice. I mean, listen, of course they show a shot of Chelsea watching them walk off, and I'm assuming the producer said, "Hey, you know, you two need to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. You two need to have a conversation." So she had to have known that it was something that was planned.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I thought he was, and I felt like, you know, Jessica talked about how she gave him that letter,
mm-hmm.
the letter to her ultimate man. And I think that scared the crap out of him, too, because mm-hmm. he's like, "What? You feel all of these things about me?"
Yeah.
And Jessica, it was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot to put on one person and to give him that letter and to, you know, I mean,
it was too much.
It was way too much.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he was overwhelmed by like, "Yeah, how can I possibly live up to all this shit?"
Mm-hmm.
And it was some immature letter that she wrote. I don't know how many years ago, but it's just, I don't know, Jessica's very immature. I don't think they're a good match. Like, they're just
I'm
not saying he and Chelsea necessarily are, but I don't know. It's funny because, you know, in the beginning of this, watching this show, I kind of thought Jimmy was a douchebag, and now I'm feeling like I'm on team Jimmy now. It's like, you know, he really has grown on me. And
yeah,
you know, I feel like he's been very mature. He's been very patient.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much longer he can, you know, handle it with Chelsea if she doesn't like, you know,
yeah,
do better. But anyway,
And then Sarah Ann and Alejandra, who we didn't see much of, show up.
Yeah.
And then both Laura and Jeremy both start freaking out the minute they see Sarah Ann. It's like, okay.
Yeah. Well, did we talk about how, Laura and Jeremy basically officially break up.
Mm-hmm.
And she says she's going to come pick up her shit tomorrow. And he's like, "Well, I've already packed it."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to know, like, Jeremy, what do you want? Because
he was trying to talk her into, you know,
keeping going.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, like I said before, I think that Jeremy has done this to other women. And I think other women have been mad, but, you know, I send them flowers mm-hmm. and I do this and that, and we're fine. And we can stay on the show and we'll keep going and let's see what happens. And I think that he was so flabbergasted that she just wanted no part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's now made himself the victim of all of this. And he's not. And, you know, Laura says to him what she's right on, which is like, "You're not prepared to be in a relationship because it took you 3 days to apologize to me."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the thing. They just keep these barbs towards each other. It's like, oh, you're rejecting me? No, I'm going to reject you first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
No, thank God these two broke up. That's too much.
I mean, Laura, I know people love Laura. Laura's never been my favorite person. I think Laura is a lot. I do. Yeah. But I do think that she's mature enough to handle a relationship. And I think that this is not the right person.
Yeah. Well, Trevor said, Laura was my number two, but she scares me.
Yeah.
So Trevor's scared. And, and he just saw her today and he's scared. Yeah. So anyway,
we see Trevor and Chelsea talk. And this it was so annoying just watching this whole scene, knowing that he has this girlfriend. Mm-hmm. But he says that they're kind of flirting with each other. And he tells her that he looked her up right away. I'm like, no, we know you didn't do that. We know you were texting your girlfriend right away.
You were like, I'm on my way back.
Yeah. Oh, I should probably see what this Chelsea girl looks like. Hold on a second. maybe she might be better than you, babe. Let me see how I feel.
Before I text you, let me see if I...
And then she says that she saw him too. And then she starts telling Trevor about the arguments that she's had with Jimmy. And she tells him, sometimes I think about you, Trevor. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And then, Trevor and Jimmy are like bros. Like Jimmy comes over and gives him a hug and a kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, this is weird. I don't know what's happening here, but yeah, Trevor put on a real show and I don't know what, I mean, I don't even know what's real anymore.
Yeah. And then, Chelsea makes this offhand comment about how Amy and Johnny are the number one couple. And then all of a sudden, Jimmy gets so angry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm like, oh, like, are you nutty too?
Yeah.
Are you nutty too? Like what? Yeah. It was so innocuous. It was so nothing, but he's worked up about it.
Yeah.
These people are very sensitive.
Yeah. And so then AD has a talk with Sarah Ann. And Sarah Ann is a nut job. Like,
yes.
She's so annoying. So basically AD's saying that she really felt like it was inappropriate for her to send that text to Jeremy saying basically, oh, like if it doesn't work out, she's leaving the door open, whatever. Mm-hmm. And Sarah Ann is so offended by this and she keeps interrupting and really won't let her talk and she's really upset and AD is just patiently trying to tell her like that wasn't really cool and it was one of the factors that led to the destruction of the Laura Jeremy relationship, but Sarah Ann does not want to hear any of it. She is like blameless, she didn't do anything wrong. And so then she and Jeremy go sit out on the dock and, start talking.
Yeah, you basically get Sarah's point of view, which is she felt like, okay, we all know what this show is. We know that not everyone makes it to the altar. Mm-hmm. And so am I, is it so wrong that I'm calling it out? And it's like, those words weren't great. You could have sent a normal message. I mean, I don't think the words were the right words to use by any means, but she keeps like digging into it. And I think she's surprised to hear that AD actually saw the text message.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Sarah Ann was going to skirt around it a little bit, but she claims that she wishes she had pressed the issue that when Jeremy was breaking up with her, that he was very wishy-washy about it because AD asked, did Jeremy leave the door open for you and him? And basically Sarah Ann said yes. And I don't think that's particularly fair because
do you think that's true? Don't you think we would have seen that? Like if that happened in the pods?
I think that she probably feels like I didn't express myself so well. Maybe I needed to be a little bit more serious. Maybe I needed to be a bit more like telling him that he's so great or that I really like him or any of those things. And I think that she obviously regretted that. And now she feels like, don't I get my chance to talk to him and to fight this out. And it's like, well, no, because he made his choice. Like you know, it's a little bit of, that's what the pods were for. Like, you can't, we all have moments in our lives where we go, okay, I wish I had done it differently, but you have to move forward. You have to keep going. You don't need to be inserting yourself in this, well, in the relationship.
And then she follows it up with, you know, staying out all night, quote unquote, talking to him.
Yes. Well, she does corroborate Jeremy's story. They got their story straight.
She does. Yeah. Look, she's trash. I hate her. I just really think she's trashy. Anyway,
Hold on, real quick. She says that Jeremy told her that night that he was breaking things off with Laura.
Yeah.
I wish we could hear what Jeremy, like, did you say that or not? Or did you leave the door open? Or do you feel like you left the door open? I don't know.
I don't care. I'm so tired of those two. Bye.
I think Jeremy's a player, and I think that he is very insecure. I think he was kind of nerd. This is my thoughts. I think he was kind of nerdy and dorky when he was younger, and maybe he kind of evolved into this kind of cute, funny guy that maybe now is getting attention from women. And he has just likes attention. And I think that's why he picked Laura, because Laura was very direct and a lot of attention, a lot of like, you're so great. You're my number one, all of that. Just the same way Chelsea said yes to Jimmy because she wanted to win. She wanted to beat Jessica, you know? Anyway.
Well, anyway, they rub it in everyone's faces by, you know, riding off on some jet skis.
Yeah, they both say that they are not sorry. No. And Jeremy does say, I made the wrong decisions in the pod. And
that's it. I really don't want to talk about that anymore.
Okay.
So
my feelings deserve to be heard. That was Sarah Ann's big thing. My feelings deserve to be heard. Not necessarily Sarah Ann. Not always. Not always.
I hope we never see you again.
Yes.
Okay. So then they.
Okay. Now we're back to Chelsea and.
Well, no.
What happens now? Oh, okay. God. This is the wedding dress shopping stuff.
Well, start doing these pre-wedding things, you know, like Chelsea and Jimmy make an ice carving for their reception. I guess, what do they do? They keep it in the freezer? I guess that. I don't know. They had a chainsaw and they did a ice carving thing, and then AD and Clay make some custom sneakers. Then I think we go back to the birth control conversation, which we've all discussed.
God. This is when he says,
I didn't realize what a vasectomy was. Okay, we've been there.
Yeah. It's more complicated.
They've done that. They're going to figure it out. They agree they're going to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now it's the wedding dress, wedding tuxedo time.
And of all the Love is Blind, I hate this part.
I know.
It's so boring.
It is boring.
Full disclosure, a lot of times I start like fast forward. Because you learn nothing new. And I don't need to see these people's mothers cry. I just don't.
Yeah, well, we get to see people's families. It's funny because like the women always bring, you know, their moms, their sisters, whatever. And the guys always bring, you know, like their high school friends or it's kind of weird. And what was sort of creepy, I thought, was Clay brought these two guys who he says, yeah, when I started getting with women, I was with these guys and now they're here and I'm getting married. And I was just like, well, what age were you guys when you started getting women? Like, it was sort of strange. But yeah, it's not very exciting. And, you know, a lot of times the dresses that we see them try on are not even the dresses that they end up wearing at the wedding.
Yeah.
And I AD would look beautiful in anything.
Oh, God, anything
on.
In a paper
Her body
bag.
Is so Ugh. Just tight.
It's, yes.
Perfect. She no, looked
she's so, beautiful.
So good in those dresses. She looked gorgeous.
She did. She looked great in the first one. I'm like, oh, that one's great. Then she came out in the second one. I'm like, oh my God, that's even better. I love these.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why all of these people, they're all crying. I've put on a wedding dress. I didn't cry once. You know, I mean, really? You're going to burst into tears?
I don't
know.
Okay.
What is all of this?
I don't know. We're not like a super emotional family. I remember going to get your wedding dress. I was like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I was...
You were very pregnant.
Like about 8 months pregnant or something. And not quite, but close. And yeah, we went to... It was in some mall somewhere and you put the dress on and we were like, yeah, it looks great, you know?
There were two. I'd gone there earlier with mom and there were two that we liked. And I think I tried them both on and I was like, okay, I'm going to go with this one. And that was it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there we go.
Let's go. Yeah. Let's go have lunch.
Yeah.
Nobody cried.
No one was crying, but that makes me worried. It just makes me worried. You know, as if like this is this prize. Like people keep attaching
it. You've made it.
It's a prize. You're a bride. You're this. You're that. It's like no. Stop. It's something that you do in life. Some people do it. Some people don't. But it's wonderful and great. But it's not worth crying over. Like it's not.
Oh yeah,
all of this stuff.
Amy's mom gave a whole speech, you know, I was just like, oh God, I hope I don't do that if my daughter gets married. I hope I can keep it together.
Yeah.
Oh, and then AD puts on this veil that has like it's like word art on a veil.
Yeah.
And it says,
yeah.
Till death do us part. The tip of it, and I'm just like,
yeah,
I've never seen that before. That's weird.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. This is a little different. But again, it's like they just had that there. So if you're gonna have word art on there, it should be something a little more personal. I don't know. It's just weird.
Maybe the couple's name. I don't know. I don't think you should have word art at all on a veil. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay. So then at the very end, they squeeze in like a couple of scenes where, like Clay and AD have dinner and talk about how they're just so looking forward to being married and having kids. And Johnny and Amy discuss how great their relationship is over s'mores. Oh, and this was weird. Chelsea and Jimmy go to a completely empty amusement park.
Yes.
It was rented out just for them. Which was really strange. They're going on rides and playing games. And then he takes her to this table where there's like food and, you know, the goblets and some wine stuff set up. And he says to her that they really haven't discussed, like, are they going to say yes? Or, you know, are they going to get married? And he asks her, you know, are you ready to get married? And then she just kind of blankly stares at him and then the show ends.
Yeah. Is she really going to say no? Are you supposed to discuss that? I always got the sense there was some sort of unwritten rule. Like you could talk to each other about how you're feeling and what's going on, but that in the end that you're supposed to keep the final.
You're supposed to be surprised.
Yeah.
Or, you know. Yeah, I don't know. It seems like that's become part of the show now. Because like Clay and AD discussed that, like, you know, he's like, well, can't we just keep, why do we have to stick to this date? You know, can't we just keep dating? And she's like, no.
Yeah.
So
which actually, again, is not a crazy thing. It's not a crazy thing to ask. AD's position, which is I sign up for this. This is what I want. I want to get married. But at the same time, Clay is, you know, he's not wrong that this is all too much,
it's
too fast.
Too much. And the only couple that I can remember who, you know, someone said no at the altar and then they ended up dating afterwards was Raven and
Raven.
What was that guy's name? The Nigerian guy.
That's right.
His name was
that's
initials.
Right. That's right. Yes. 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 Yes.
But so they did date, but he ended up cheating on her and they broke up.
Yeah.
So again, probably not ready to commit fully, obviously. So yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, yeah, I feel like if you're really ready and you're really committed, you know, I feel like you're in or you're out. It's just not going to work if you have any kind of lingering doubts or you're not doing it for the right reasons.
Well, is it the end of the world if they made the show 3 months long? I mean, I understand all of the tension and everything's supposed to be because it's heightened. Everything's heightened so much. But is it the end of the world if you made this 3 months instead of 1 month or, you know, 3 weeks?
Well, from a production standpoint, I just think, I don't know, it'd probably be too expensive, too difficult. Well, how are you going to fill? Because if you're doing it for 3 months, you know, you have to have stuff to, you have to have content.
Well, you know? But they would go away more. You would leave them alone more.
Yeah.
You know, they wouldn't be there. Because I think what happens now is they're probably there either every day or every other day. There's something they have to do for this intense amount of time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it would be good for them to, you know, just leave for a month and then come back and see how they're doing. But again, I know that's not as dramatic and exciting as this.
All right. Well,
But they are going to have to, I do think they're going to have to shift and change some things with this show.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, the shows that have been successful, I'm a big Survivor fan,
mm-hmm.
and Survivor's had some low seasons and they've had some rough spots. But the one thing about Survivor is they're constantly reinventing mm-hmm. themselves based on, because now there are people playing Survivor that were like a kid when mm-hmm. the show was on, which is crazy to think about. And they grew up watching it. So they have, their perspective is different. And the show and the people, like the basis of the show is the same, but how you do, you know, how you compete, how they, you know, plan things is different. And this is what Love is Blind needs to do.
Yeah. They have to have different angles. It's got to evolve. You're right.
Yes.
So real quick before we wrap up, let's revisit. These were our predictions after we watched episodes 1 through 6.
Okay.
Okay. Right. So Johnny and Amy, we both said yes.
Yes.
They're going to make it.
Yes.
So that hasn't changed. Now, Kenneth and Brittany, we both were feeling positive towards them. Like we really wanted them to make it.
Yes.
But that we didn't really, we hadn't really seen a lot of them because, you know, they just didn't get that much camera time and, you know. So we weren't really sure. We needed more information, but
mm-hmm.
they're gone. Laura and Jeremy, we both said no.
Okay, so we got that right.
Another one, another win.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy and Chelsea, you said yes. I said no.
Okay, well, let's see what happens.
Yes. So that's still very much up in. I feel like with those two, I feel like anything can happen.
Yeah. They are hanging on by a goddamn thread, those two.
Yes.
But I do think that the way in which this would be, it would be a no. It would be a no from Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be because Chelsea said or did something so bad. Like, because he's already pushed to this nth degree. It's like she might do something else.
Yeah. It's hard for me to think of her saying no. But I think he could say no at the last minute. Mm-hmm. And then Clay and AD, you said no, and I said yes.
Mm.
And I'm just going to stand by that because I feel like Clay is going to be the type of person who will just say yes just to have a happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
I think Clay thinks too far ahead I think he might just be like, well, I'm just going to say yes and we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's also a total crapshoot.
I still stand behind my no. I think AD is going to say yes. And I think he's going to say no. I think he's mm-hmm. just going to, though, now that he has found out that she's not willing to date him after.
Yeah.
He might be. Cause I think that he likes the idea of marriage and AD.
And
he likes
her
this.
Because she is, that's his thing. His whole thing is his image.
Yeah. And she is his Michelle to his Barack.
He called himself the ghetto Barack and her Michelle. He's obsessed with way more than her. He's obsessed with their image and being mm-hmm. like this poster couple. He's like, he likes how they're both entrepreneurial and, you know, they're both good looking, you know, mm-hmm. they just look, you know, so he might say to himself, like, that's more important to me than any doubts I have about, you know, my ability to be faithful.
Yeah. And I can very, yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Maybe I'm changing my mind, though. I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, I think that they both are naively thinking that being a power couple is enough for them to make everything work, or
everything else will just work out.
Obviously he manages properties in his spare time, and it's like, I would really like to know more about this real estate and what he's doing, because
she has multiple jobs. She has, you know.
Yeah, but I feel like, you know, and everyone talks about real estate these days, and because there's been so many goddamn flipping shows, and everybody wants to flip, and everyone wants to do this and that. And it's like, you know, it's not as glamorous and lucrative as people think it is. It really isn't.
Well, and she said many times that, you know, they barely have time to see each other, you know, because he's going here and going there, and he travels and then stays overnight. And, you know, that time is going to be an issue.
Yeah.
The time, I think that's going to get to her.
I keep forgetting he has a full-time job.
Yeah, he does tech sales. And then in his spare time, he says he rents Airbnbs. I don't know if he manages them or if he owns the properties.
That's what I want to know. Because if he actually, like, what was her name? Nancy. If he if he owned the properties and was managing them, and he had to travel around because he doesn't want to pay a maintenance person or whatever it is, you know, that makes sense. But if he's just managing people's Airbnb properties, then what are the two of you doing? Like, that's not going to get you very far. I feel like people think that real estate is much more of this lucrative hustle than it really is. And it's not. It really isn't. You know, you have to have you have to have a lot of capital or access to capital. Right. And you also need,
it needs to be your full-time focus.
Yeah. And someone needs to be a real estate agent. Well, she is, actually. So that's good. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, flipping only works if one person is a real estate agent and the other person is a contractor. And that's how they make it work.
Commissions
But yeah, I mean, I just think that it's, I don't know. I really like AD. I want the best for her. I really do. I really, really do. So,
well, so next week is the weddings. And, you know, we could, yeah, since we're going to put this out sooner, we could maybe like for next week have this episode and the wedding episode out. You know, if we watch it when it right when it comes out, and then record it the next day. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll try to get it to you because we don't want it to be stale. And then there's going to be a reunion, I believe. I think it's March 13th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So are they is it skipping a week? Because if the weddings are next.
No, because next week would be like March
5th. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Or maybe it's on a Sunday night. I don't know. I just read March 13th. Anyway.
No, you're right. You're right. Okay. No, because next week's the 6th. So next Wednesday. And then the 13th right after that. Yeah. Okay. But they really shoved this in. I mean, but this is the other thing too, isn't this show like a big show for Netflix? Like you're doing it over a month.
Yeah.
Like, why are you not dragging it out? Coming out sooner?
Well, they used to drop like two or three episodes at once when this first started. Then after that, it would just be one episode a week. And it's like, that's great. You know, it's fun to have appointment television watching, you know?
Yeah.
Cause we don't have that anymore. And I looked forward to that, you know, and you drag it out. And I don't like this dropping a whole bunch of.
Yeah, well, dropping six episodes at once in the beginning. And what is Netflix thinking about? And also, you guys, if you're going to keep doing this show, you have to churn these out. Like, these need to turn around, because if you have too much time, there is just too much that can be revealed.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to put a gag order on everybody connected to the show.
Yeah.
Like, you just cannot talk about anything until the show until the reunion airs.
Well, the problem is it's other people revealing stuff.
Yeah. I guess they can't stop that.
I think them. Trevor was outed by this girlfriend, who I guess is now his ex-girlfriend. You know, I think it's other people coming in. In every case, it's not the contestants themselves. It's other people. You can't control the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Well, anyway, so thank you so much for tuning in. Despite all of our complaints, I just love the show.
I love it too.
I don't know why. I just do. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you haven't already, please leave us a 5-star rating and review. That really does help us out. If you have not subscribed, please subscribe to the podcast and please share it with a friend or two friends or three friends, as many friends as you have, to get the word out and spread the word. We're on social media at Psych Legal Pop on Instagram and TikTok. And yeah, we have lots of, after Love is Blind is over, we have lots of exciting things happening and announcements and lots of good stuff coming down the pike. Pipe.
I don't know.
Through the pipeline. The yes. Psych Legal Pop pipeline.
That's a lot of P's.
Too many P's.
P-L-P-P.
Yes. All right.
Okay.
We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.